Mark chapter 4. Show you some things tonight in the Word that I personally think you're going to enjoy. I think that this message tonight is going to help a lot of people to understand some of the CRAP that you have gone through. Barry's back there working this one out. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Now first off, what I want to do is identify the greatest parable in all the Bible. Seriously. The greatest parable in all the Bible. There is no parable better. It's this one right here in Mark chapter 4. It's the parable of the sower. You say, well, how do you know that this one's the best, the greatest? It says so. You say, well, I never read that in there. It doesn't say, yeah, well, not in those words, but look. He gave the parable of the sower, and in verse 13, Jesus says, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? See there? That makes this the greatest parable in all the Bible. Because if you can come to understand what he's talking about here in this parable, then you're going to understand it is the key to unlocking every other parable in Scripture. The sower sows the Word. That's because part of meditating the Word is sowing the Word. The more that you sow the Word into you, take a parable, the more you sow that parable into you, especially if you are praying in the Spirit as well, you're giving the Holy Spirit the instruments and the to work with on the inside of your spirit to cause you to come to the place of understanding any parable, whether you have a clue about it or not. And let's face it, there are a lot of those parables in there. We scratch our heads and think, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Well, this one right here, Mark chapter 4, is the key. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. It just happens that what we're going to talk about tonight is in Mark chapter 4. So I just gave you a freebie, all right? The rest of this you got to pay for, praise God. All right. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus was teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. And jump over to verse 35. It says, and the same day, what same day? Teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. And the same day when even was come, okay, night is approaching. He saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. The other side of what? Well, they're at the sea, okay? Now look at this. And when they had sent away the multitude of what? The people that he was teaching and teaching and teaching. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Okay, now, let's back up in this story. These guys have just spent the day in ministry with Jesus. Not only were they working with him, they were also receiving from him. Because whenever he taught, they're soaking it up too. Okay? So here they are. He's giving this teaching. He gives the parable of the sower. All this. I mean, he's just really doing a typical job for Jesus. It's masterful. And he says, all right, fellas, now look. It's even. Night is approaching. And here's what we need to do, verse 35. We need to pass to the other side. And they said, well, okay, Jesus, we can do that. All right, folks, meeting's over. Everybody go home. We have to go to the other side. Now listen closely. We have a word from the Lord what we're supposed to do. Anybody here ever wish you had a word from the Lord what you're supposed to do? Yeah. They got a word from the Lord, did they not? Oh, gee whiz, night is approaching. Now what do we do? Jesus says, well, since I'm the Lord, I'll give you a word. We must pass to the other side. And they say, ah, a word from the Lord. We now have direction for our life and ministry. Okay, everybody go home. We got a word from the Lord. So they piled into the boat, and off they go. Now look, it says, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. I look at verse 37. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now, there is nothing about a storm until after they set sail. Okay? Jesus didn't say, set sail in the storm. There was no storm. There was no great wind. There were no great waves. He says, we must go to the other side. And they said, okay. So they get in the boat. Now, Peter and John and some of the others, we know that they were experienced on the open seas. Because, you know, the fishing business and all that. Now, you know that if they had looked into the sky and had seen the signs of an approaching horrible storm, they probably would have said something to Jesus, don't you think? Remember when Paul gave the warning to the people that were going to set sail, and he says, guys, listen, we don't need to go because a bad storm's going to rise up. And they said, Paul, we're experienced people in ships, and we know, look at the skies. There's no sign of a storm. Paul said, fellas, you better listen to me. Oh, Paul, you silly preacher, listen to us. We know the signs of the times and the skies and all. No storm on the horizon. Well, you know what happened. These guys spent days and days and days in a horrible storm. Well, here, similar situation. And they're in the boat, and they set sail. Now, here they are. They're in this ship. Now, back then, they didn't have motors. Did you know that? Okay. So, about the only way of propulsion would be oars and sails. That's all you have. And many times, they would use both at the same time for steering and all that. So, here they are in this ship. And everything is going fine, okay? I mean, after all, they got a word from the Lord, did they not? And I'm going to ask you a question. Were they doing what the Lord said to do? Were they being obedient to Him? And were they headed in the direction where He said? Absolutely. So, is there any fault in their obedience? Absolutely none. So here they are, having a good old time on the boat. Row, row, row your boat. Then all of a sudden, whoa, the breeze is picking up. Oh, the breeze is really picking up. The next thing you know, the breeze has really picked up. And this wind was so powerful that it caused the waves to be so high, the waves were washing over the sides of the boat into the boat, into the ship. Now, these guys are doing everything they know to do. And you know, they're straining and they're doing the best, but the waves are crashing over. And the thing is, now get this, they were simply doing what the Lord told them to do. When you obey the Lord, you're not supposed to encounter storms. Can I get a witness? I don't understand this, Peter. No, we're doing what He said. And He's leading us to our death. Arr, maybe, I don't know. And they're rowing, and they're rowing, and they're straining, and they're trying to... And the waves are crashing over the waves. And all the time in their mind, you know they're thinking, we simply did what Jesus said to do. We were simply obedient. How is it possible to obey Him and encounter such a horrible storm to the point that the water, look what it says in there, is filling this ship? We're going to sink. We're going to die because we were obedient to Jesus. Now, you can just imagine these guys. They're starting to panic, are they not? They're starting to get a little, you know, distraught over this thing. I mean, after all, when you obey Jesus, you're supposed to have success in your ministry. You're not supposed to encounter a drowning situation. And so, here they are, and the water is filling, and you know, old Bartholomew, he was kind of a character. You know, the waves start splashing and washing over and filling the boat. And the rest of them, they're getting worried. But, you know, Bartholomew, he's there. He starts singing. Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Long. Well, Peter reaches over and slaps him in the head and says, "Are you crazy?" Here they are, and they're getting worried. And Peter's looking around. Sploosh, sploosh, sploosh. He says, "We got to do something. We got to do something." He says, "Matthew, James, John." He says, "You help me bail. The rest of you, row for all you're worth." And so they're bailing, and they're bailing water, and they're bailing water, and they're trying to, and the water's winning. And they're trying their best to stay afloat. They're trying their best not to die while they're obeying Jesus. And all of a sudden, Peter, here he is, bailing this water, and he looks, and there's Jesus. Did you hear that? Now you know what I have to listen to. Come These Corinthian women. So he looks back, and there's Jesus, sound asleep on a pillow. I mean, these guys are out there, you know, their muscles are straining, their backs are aching, their legs are about to give out from, you know, resisting and the oars and just, this is not a good day, okay? But Jesus, see, the one who gave us the instruction is sleeping on the job. Have you ever felt like that you obeyed and now the storms have blown into your life, and what's Jesus doing? Sleeping. Completely oblivious to the problems you're in. I know you've never felt like that. Only these guys. Well, look what it says. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him." I mean, these guys are busting their chops trying to stay afloat. He's so sound asleep, they have to awake him. The wind is not waking him. Their cries, row, bail, bail, row, their cries are not waking him. He's asleep in the midst of this thing. And if they want to get his help, they've got to go wake him up. So they go back. And I can, now look, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I personally believe Peter was leading the way. Stomping through the water to get back to where Jesus was. Now look at this. It says, verse 38, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" That is so King James. Honestly, do you really think that they went back there to him? "Awake, awake, O Lord. Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Do you really think that's how they approached him? I can see Peter, "Hey, man, what is wrong with you? Don't you give a hoot, we're about to drown out here. And you're sleeping, you're sawing logs back here on this pillow. Look at this water, Jesus, we're obeying you." Listen, your fault, we're here. Wasn't it? They wouldn't have gotten in the boat in the first place if he hadn't said so. It's your fault we're here. Well, see, I'll tell you what really happened. He was sound asleep. You want to know why? Because God sent that storm to rock his son to sleep. "Jesus, we did what you said. Look at this. And you're trying to sleep through the whole thing." Did it ever occur to them that if they die, he dies? Notice they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Not you, Jesus, us. I mean, it doesn't really concern us that you're on this boat. You seem to be enjoying this whole thing. But we're the ones that are perishing here, Jesus. Maybe that pillow you're on is a flotation device. Maybe you listened to the instructions before we set sail. Maybe you've got your oxygen mask ready to drop down from above so you can put it on your face and survive this thing. But Jesus, we're out there bailing water. We're out there rowing. We are trying our best to get you where you said to go. Don't you care that we perish? Now look what happened. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the boat... Everybody looks in their Bible. Does it say that? No. No. It says, and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, here we go with this King James stuff, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, let me tell you how I think it went. He stands up. I mean, he was sleeping, okay? Yeah, he's had a long day teaching parables and everything. And he stands up. And he says, "Peace be still." And it goes from to calm. I can just see him look at these guys and say, "And?" It's just, "What's wrong with you guys? Why are you so afraid?" "Because, Jesus, we were obeying you and we encountered the storm. We were simply doing what you told us to do, and we were about to die." Now, Scripture doesn't record it this way, but here's something he could have said. He could have said, "Have you forgotten who you set sail with? Have you forgotten who told you what to do? And have you forgotten what I've done in the past? You know, why are you of so little faith? What, you think all these other miracles and stuff, you think they were accidents? You think God just was in a good mood that day? Don't you guys get it yet? Haven't you caught on?" Now, think about this for yourself. How many of you have obeyed the Lord, and the next thing you know, your boat's about to sink? You've obeyed the Lord, you're doing what He said, and it's like, all of a sudden, it's one problem after another. That is what happened to these guys. So you've got to understand something. They obeyed Him they crossed the T's, they dotted the I's, they obeyed Him. They were doing exactly what He said to do. And they encountered a storm that could have killed them. He said, "Peace, be still." And the storm stopped. Now, how many of you have ever taken a cue from Jesus and stood up and spoken to the storm in your life? How many of you have ever taken the time to stand up and when you know that you were obedient to God and these storms start blowing in and instead of you doing what Jesus did and following that example and standing up and saying, "No, peace, be still," and speaking to the storm, you cry about it. You call everybody you know and complain about it. You send everybody you know prayer requests about it. And instead of following this example, didn't Jesus say, "The works that I do, you shall do also"? That includes speaking to storms. I'm telling you now, one of the reasons a lot of Christians have to put up with a lot of stuff is because they don't stand up in their ship and speak to the storm that's trying to sink them. If you take the time to stand up and say, peace, be still to whatever it is that's trying to tear you apart, you're going to see a whole lot more success because instead of crying out to the Lord to do something, He has invested in you the authority and the power of His own life so that you can stand up and do what He did and speak peace into those storms. You don't have to sink. You don't have to go down. And see, there's a lot of people that they've encountered storms in their lives and they've let the storm take them down. Or they've turned around and headed back the opposite way. But they have never taken the time to stand up and speak peace to their problems. Peace to the storm. Peace to your family situation. Peace to your financial situation. Take authority over this. And these guys, that blew their mind. I mean, look at this. It says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. See, it still hasn't clicked. It still hasn't clicked who he is and what he's operating by. And this is exactly the problem for a great many Christians. It hasn't clicked who you have become in Christ. And instead of speaking to the storms, you're letting the storms wash over into your boat to try and pull you down. See, a lot of folks that ask for prayer, instead of asking for prayer, they should be making declarations of peace. Now, I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying that you never ask for prayer. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is instead of always being in the prayer request line, instead of always calling up the prayer hotline, instead of looking for the prayer chain, instead of trying to get everybody in the boat with you, stand up and speak to that storm that's trying to take you down. Listen, you don't have to put up with it. Now, let me ask you a question. Were they still in the boat? Were they still on the sea? Was the water still in the boat? The storm had stopped, but they still had some bailing to do, didn't they? And they still had some rowing to do, didn't they? How many Christians spend so much of their time bailing out the water when they could have spoken peace to the storm before the boat was full? And instead, they wait until they're on their way down before they do anything. And then they try to get other people to help them. Well, you know, God's a merciful God, and He works through people, and you see these things. You know, you see people delivered and so forth, and praise God for it. But what I'm saying is, when you understand who you are in Christ, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that boat, Christ in the boat, the hope of glory, all right? Christ in the boat, the hope of peace, Christ in you. You have that authority on the inside of you, and you have the ability to speak to the storms. You can just speak to them. You know, just like I gave you that testimony of Bill Hyatt's mom, who was healed of cancer. I spoke to the cancer. That was a storm in her boat. Now, I spoke to that. Could she have done the same thing? Yes. Did she do it? I don't know if she did or not. I just know I did. Do I get the credit? No, Jesus gets the credit. I spoke to the cancer. When you start speaking to things as though you're the one in control, you start to see things happen. I'm going to give you an example of that in this. Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. We know what's about to happen, don't we? They don't. Follow this. All right, what had they just done the day before? Spent all day in ministry with Jesus, right? What had they just done the night before? Fought a storm all night long. Now you can imagine, listen, I don't know if any of you have ever done any rowing before, but you know, if you're not used to that, every muscle in your body, if you're rowing against the wind and against the direction of the water, every muscle in your, I mean, even your hair starts to hurt. Every muscle, your toenails start aching. Every muscle in your body. Because you're using all those back, arm, finger, toe, feet, muscles. I mean, every muscle you're using to brace yourself and to pull and to get the ship going the way that you want it to go. All right, now, listen. They've been all day the day before in ministry. They spend a big chunk of the night fighting a storm. Then they get to the Gadarenes. Now, okay, you're in that boat with them. Oh, look, land. Oh, this is going to be so nice. Kick back and relax a little bit. Well, wouldn't you have been thinking that? Oh, that land. I tell you, Peter, I don't know if I'd ever see land again. It was rough last night. And Peter, you know, he is, well, I knew we'd make it, praise God. I knew we'd get here. So they get here, they see this land. And they're really feeling good about this. Man, I get to lay down. Oh, I wish somebody would hurry up and invent Bengay. Good night. I could use a good rub down. And so they're getting out of the boat, you know. Of course, now Jesus, he's like, what's with you guys? Let's go. Come on. I mean, all he does is speak to things, right? So they're getting out of the boat. It's like, oh, boy. Now look what happened. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. And if you don't have to turn to it, but the same account over in Luke says that this guy wore no clothes. All right, so he's naked. And it says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, wore no clothes, no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man, now look at what's that next word? Tame him. Neither could any man tame him. It's like, back Simba, back Simba, like this guy's some kind of a circus lion. Nobody could tame this guy. What's that tell you about his actions? He breaks chains, he destroys fetters, he lives in the tombs, and not only that, verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This guy has a real problem. I mean, today, we think you need therapy. Yeah. People are trying to control him. And no man could tame him. I mean, capture the scenario of this guy. He's living in the tombs. That's disgusting. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, I'm going to tell you about that word worship, okay, in just a moment. But I want you to capture this scenario, all right? These guys spent all day in ministry with Jesus. They get in the boat to go to the other side, because they had a word from the Lord. And as they are obeying Him, the storm comes up and tries to kill them. And so, you know, they've been rowing and bailing and all this kind of stuff. And they finally make it to the other side. These guys are tired. Do you understand tired? These guys are bushed. They are worn out. They are exhausted. Their muscles are aching unbelievably. And they see land. In their mind, they're seeing relaxation. In their mind, they're seeing some relief. But little do they know. They get out of the boat. It's like, oh, oh, man. Whew. And they hear this sound. I mean, it said crying and cutting himself. Living it. Peter, did you hear that? Like, yeah, what do you think it was? I don't know, man. Sound like some kind of a lion or a tiger or a bear. Oh, my. It sounds like it's coming from over there someplace. Well, you mean the tombs? Yeah, look, listen. Yeah. It sounds like that's coming from over the tombs. And it's like, holy moly, what is that? And here comes naked crazy man. I mean, running out of the tombs. Bleah, bleah, foamy, slobbering, naked man. Now, this... you don't need this right now, okay? You have had a rough day and a rough night. You are tired. You just want some rest and relaxation. And all of a sudden, crazy naked man is charging you. You know, I can just, look at this. What in the world's going on here? Oh, Thomas, do you really think that God sent us here?
I doubt it.
So, just think about it. God have mercy, what is this? Here comes, crazy naked man. And, these guys, I can just see them trying to hide behind each other. they don't know what this guy's going to do. And it says that this guy came, looking at verse 6, he saw Jesus, man, and it says he worshipped him. Now this word worship, don't confuse that to mean that this guy fell down and started singing, "All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel." No, that was not it. This word worship, now it can mean that, but in this context, it means an inferior falling into submission before a superior. Okay? Now, this guy has demons. These demons, we'll read the story here. It says, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" I do not remember anybody making any formal introductions here. I don't remember Peter saying, crazy naked man, this is Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Jesus, this is crazy naked man. Glad to be here in the Gadarenes with you, sir. You have a beautiful land. Wonderful tombs you've been living in over there. Who's your decorator? This is wonderful. No. But these demons knew. They knew. And the head of the bunch, he's doing the talking. Now, you can say what you want, but I personally believe that there was a weird voice coming out of this guy. What do I have to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou, what?
Torment me
not. In other words, he recognized Jesus had the power to do this. An inferior submitting before a superior. Why? To avoid being tormented. He was not worshiping him because he was the Messiah, Savior, Lord, King of Kings. That is not what was going on. He was begging for mercy. He was begging for mercy. Now let me ask you a question. What makes you think, or why do you think this guy had an idea Jesus was there? Now think about this. Jesus told the disciples, set sail for the other side. Now, who knew who was on the other side? God knew who was on the other side, did he not? They landed at the Gadarenes. God knew who was over there, didn't he? Who else knew who knew he was over there? Satan. So this guy comes and he says, this demon, please don't torment me. For he, now look at verse 8, for he said unto him, and that's supposed to be in the past tense. You could put the word had in there and you would be correct. He had said unto him. In other words, here comes naked crazy man, foaming at the mouth, slobbering, And Jesus, he knows the deal, man. He knows what's going on. And so he had said to him, come out. Look what it says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He said that to him, and then the unclean spirit says, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, what have I to do with thee? Please don't torment me. And Jesus says, well, who are you? What's your name? And he says, my name is Legion, for we, plural, are many. And he, Legion, besought him, Jesus, much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. You ever seen that in your life? I don't know about you, but the only pigs I've ever seen have been in pens. I have never seen anybody herding swine like sheep. Now that's either a weird custom I don't know anything about yet, or there's something going on here. It's a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils. Now, do you see the word all? Now it's not just Legion, the one speaking on behalf of the many. It's all the devils. Can you imagine what that must have sounded like? All those voices coming out of that man?
Send it to the pigs. Send us to the pigs. Send us to the pigs. Send us now to the pigs. Oh, Jesus. Might have even got, come on, Jesus. Send us to them pigs.
Anyway. Hey, listen. Devils can be anywhere. Anyway. Back to the story. All the devils besought him, say, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Okay, now, all these disciples are watching this, okay? I can, you know, there's poor old Andrew. Man, is this happening? I mean, is this really happening? And Bartholomew, oh, this is great. This is just what we need. You serve the Lord, and look what happens. Devils everywhere. Storms everywhere. It gets you nowhere. Why serve the Lord when this is all you encounter? You ever heard anything like that before? And so, Jesus, verse 13, gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Okay, it's time to use your imagination. Crazy naked man.
My name is Legion, for we are many.
And then this cacophony of voices. Send us to the pigs.
Send us to the pigs. Send us to the pigs.
And Jesus gave them leave. Again, very King Jamesy. I'm sure he didn't say, I give thee leave. I'm sure he said, go. And so, now, they're watching this. And these devils leave this guy. But you got to understand, they didn't see anything. All right? But on the hill are 2,000 pigs being herded. And all of a sudden, these pigs, 2,000 pigs, go crazy. Wee, 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 wee. And they start running down the hill. Can you imagine the scene? 2,000 pigs. I've never seen 2,000 of anything in my life. And they've got 2,000 pigs going crazy, running down the side of a mountain. Can you imagine the people that were out there trying to herd these pigs? No, come back, come back. Porky, Petunia, come back. 2,000 pigs! And they run in. Run into the sea and they choke. Now what do you have? 2,000 dead pigs floating in the sea. 2,000 pork carcasses. Bob Evans would have been in heaven. Hallelujah. 2,000 dead pigs! What do you do with 2,000 dead pigs? You have yourself a pig roast. Hallelujah! Call your friends over. Have a barbecue. Hallelujah! 2,000 dead pigs! Oink their way to glory. Hallelujah! And here, these poor disciples, man, they're watching this whole thing. Boy, this apostle stuff is really exciting, isn't it? Storms, crazy naked people, and dead pigs floating in the sea. And it says here that they that fed the swine, they that fed the swine went to town and told it the city and in the country. Then it says, and they went out to see what it was that was done. The people in the town had come out and said, what in the world are these guys talking about? Now look at this. And they come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Crazy naked man has been tearing chains, breaking fetters all this time, cutting himself, screaming, crying in the tombs. And now all of a sudden this guy's cool. Hey guys, how's it going, man? Wow, are you the crazy naked man? Not anymore. Jesus set me free. Hey, dude. And they were afraid. They were afraid. This makes no sense. They were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And verse 17, and they, the people of the city, began to pray him, Jesus, to depart out of their coasts. Why? He has just solved one of the greatest social problems they had. And they're afraid and they say leave. All right, now here, I'll give you the historical side that's not in Scripture. I did some research on this. And back in this era, the people that lived in that region of the Gadarenes, they worshipped all kinds of gods. But the principal god that they worshipped was represented by a pig. So to them, now listen, 2,000 of their gods have just been wiped out by one man. And they were afraid. And they asked Jesus to leave. Why? Because they were afraid the pig god would seek vengeance. Think. If one man has the power to overthrow 2,000, wouldn't you want this guy to hang around? Protect you a little more? Wouldn't you have a tendency maybe to worship him or something? Well, these guys are so messed up, they're begging him to leave. To leave. Please get out before something terrible happens. Wait a minute, wait, let's think about this. You got crazy naked man who's clothed and in his right mind. The devils are gone. I mean, yeah, I agree. You do have 2,000 dead pigs floating around out there, but you want me to leave before something bad happens? Don't you understand? I'm the answer to the bad. But no, Jesus, you got to leave, you got to leave. Okay, so look what happens. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, Jesus, let me go with you. These people are crazier than I was. They want you to leave. I want to go with you, Jesus. Please take me. Please, please, please. I'll be good, I promise. I won't take my clothes off anymore. How be it? Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to your friends. Now, isn't that not an assumptive statement? It's like my what? Friends, you know, the people you used to hang around with before you got filled with all these devils. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. What much people gathered unto him? People he had ministered to the day before. Now, scenario. Minister, all day long. Minister. Okay, guys, look, it's night's on here. We got to go. Let's get the boat and go to the other side. Okay, Jesus, multitude be gone. We have to go with Jesus. We got a word from the Lord. We're obeying him. Okay, everybody, get in the boat. So they get in the boat. And they start across. Here comes bad storm. Bad storm. Row, row, bail, bail. And finally, peace be still. But by then, they're worn out. They're exhausted. They get to land. They're looking forward to a nice nap. They're looking forward to being able to sit down and relax. And what happens? Here comes crazy naked man. Screaming, yelling, and all this other. They're watching this. Now, granted, you don't get any sleep in the midst of a thing like this. And so they have this encounter with this. Now, they did not know what was going to happen. They did not know what Jesus was going to do. Well, they saw what he did. He cast the devils out, and it goes from crazy naked man to crazy pigs. And the screaming, oinking, yelling, you know, of these crazy demon-possessed pigs running down the side of a hill and drowning, choking and drowning. And then the people in the town not appreciating it. And telling them to leave. And so Jesus says, okay, guys, let's go. It's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Jesus. We spent all day in ministry with you yesterday. We spent almost all night fighting this crazy storm. We finally make it to land where we think we're going to get a little bit of R&R, and then we encounter Crazy Naked Man. And if that wasn't bad enough, the devils leave him, and they go over here and wipe out 2,000 pigs, which, since we're Jews, we really don't care about that. But nevertheless, it is kind of gross to see 2,000 pigs floating out there. I mean, Jesus, we get in the boat, we're going to have to, like, row through 2,000 dead pigs. Ooh, got one in the head. Jesus, we're tired. We want some rest, Jesus. He says, no problem, let's go to the other side. And then when they get to the other side, who's waiting? The multitudes. Now, what's the moral of this story? If you choose to follow Jesus, you had better be prepared for the unexpected. When you choose to follow Jesus, your life is no longer your own. When He says to get into a boat, you get in the boat and you head to the other side. When the storm arises, it isn't because God is trying to test you. It is because somebody is trying to stop you. And the storm, sooner or later, this is not negative prophecy, I'm telling you, sooner or... Was Jesus not in that boat? In the same storm. Sooner or later, the storm will hit you. But you can either try to row and bail your way out of it, or you can speak to it. The choice is totally yours. But it's going to happen. When you serve Jesus, storms are going to come up. When you serve Jesus, you're no longer punching a time clock. Your day doesn't end at 5. Your day never ends. When you serve Jesus, you are on call 24 hours a day. I'm not just talking when you get into full-time ministry. I am talking the day that you decide that you're going to completely sell out to Jesus. Even if you have an 8-to-5 time, punch the time clock kind of a job, you're still on call for Jesus. When you make a decision to sell out for Jesus, you are going to encounter things just when you thought you were going to be able to kick back and relax and have a little time to yourself. A crazy naked man's going to show up on your front door. Figuratively speaking now, okay? And just when you think... Now listen. Just when you think people are going to appreciate what you have done, they're going to ask you to leave. And when you leave, you're going to find multitudes waiting for you on the other side. You know how to avoid all this? Don't get in the boat in the first place. Stay on shore where everything is peaceful, where your friends are, where you can go home and relax, and you have very little responsibility. And also, no rewards. But when you choose to serve Jesus, you had better be prepared. A storm's going to come sooner or later because somebody wants to stop you from reaching the region of the Gadarenes to deal with demonic powers that have ensnared and enslaved people for who knows how long. You're going to get a word from the Lord to do something for Him. And when you climb in the boat to head in that direction of where He tells you to go, and the storm blows up, don't you turn around and go back home. You speak to that storm and you keep going. When you get to the other side, and a crazy naked man with 2,000 devils comes charging at you, you use the Jesus authority in you and you deal with that situation. And don't hang around waiting for somebody to pat you on the back and tell you what a good job you did. You just get back in your boat and go to the next place where he tells you. Jesus, if anybody had an opportunity to get really depressed in this story, it would have been Jesus. I got a bunch of guys who have not caught on yet. I got a bunch of dead pigs. I got a bunch of people in. There's only one person in this whole thing who appreciates what I did. Only one. The one I set free. Only one. Nobody else begged to go with him. Oh, the disciples, they were kind of hooked up in the deal. That fellow was the only one. The only one who appreciated that we, from what we see in the story now. The only one who appreciated what Jesus had done. Your reward is waiting for you in heaven. When the people that you have touched as you sold out to Jesus come to you and tell you, thank you for selling out to the Lord. When the people that you've ministered, people you don't even know, that you touched their lives, and they come up to you and they begin to tell you what happened and how that because of something you did or something that you said impacted them in a way that they gave their lives to Jesus. You get to heaven, people find out that you're part of this church, and they say, hey, man, Pastor Martin, right? Yeah, I listened to that radio broadcast Monday through Friday. You went to that church. Well, I listened to it on my computer. I lived over in China. And I listened to it over the internet every day, Monday through Friday. I listened to that broadcast. And you went to that church. Oh, come here. I want to thank you for supporting that ministry to keep that radio broadcast on the air, because as a result of what he taught, my whole family came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, it's not just you. It's what you're involved with. Listen, serving Jesus can be a blast. But you can also set sail into a few storms now and then. You can also encounter crazy naked people. You can also encounter pigs. You can encounter people who show no appreciation for the fact that you've ministered to them. But you know what? Jesus is to be the source of your joy and your strength. You keep your eyes on Him. And no matter what happens around you, on the inside, you will be walking in peace. Be still. I am so glad that I am born again. I am so glad that Jesus is in my boat. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let those pigs float. Hallelujah. Let them sink. Praise God. Okay, sailors. On your feet and worship the captain of this ship.